The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Kia ora, I'm Senga and this is Heritage South, the show connecting Southlanders to their heritage and where we talk heritage happenings from around the region. This episode is another in our Built Heritage series focusing on special heritage listed properties in Southland, which is made possible through funding from the Southland Heritage and Building Preservation Trust. And I'm again joined by David Dudfield.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, team leader of experience at Te Anua Museum of Southland. And this time we are going to discuss one of the more instantly recognisable properties in Invercargill, built for the iconic businessman, inventor and entrepreneur Ernest Godwood.
Very exciting.
I know.
I love that building. Every time I drive down the road there, yeah, it's so cool.
I know. And of course, I am talking about Rockhaven.
Yes.
And it is like no other building in Invercargill.
Yeah, that's right. So it was built for Ernest Godwood around that sort of 1905 to 1908 sort of period. So used to be, what was it, on Ellis Road? And then they changed the name.
So, of course, it became Queen's Drive.
Yes.
Don't ask me when because I'm terrible with dates. But before it became Queen's Drive, it was Ellis Road all the way through.
That's right.
And so it was at 117 Ellis Road, which, of course, nowadays it's right across the road from the Boys High Coldstream Hostel.
That's right.
Of course, in itself had an interesting history with it. It had a beautiful home on that site that was owned by the Mackays, and I believe the Mackays and the Godwoods were quite good friends. So, but it was on the very kind of outskirts of Invercargill at that time, particularly
right,
to the north, I think.
Yeah.
So there wouldn't have been a lot of buildings there at the time, I don't think.
No, that's right. Yeah, I mean, they were there for a wee bit before Rockhaven was built, so they lived next door at a place called Glencoe while Rockhaven was being built. So, yeah, they were there for a wee bit in advance, which was cool.
Yeah, I think it was probably, I would say, Ernest Godwood probably wanted to keep an eye on how things were tracking.
Not a control freak at all.
Hey, well, if it was me, I would.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's so cool. It's like, how would you describe it? Flamboyant Queen Anne style? One of those favoured New York styles, you know?
Yes. So, of course, he had already become a reasonably well-known inventor by then.
Oh, yes.
In 1902, he had got the patent for his spiral hair clip, which made him pots of dosh.
He was a very wealthy man indeed.
He was,
by that
and
stage.
He spent a lot of his time backwards and forwards, particularly to the US, getting patents for all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when he was in America, he was quite taken on that eastern seaboard. They had a lot of very fine homes being built there at the time. And he was quite taken with that style. And so that was, if it was good enough for the New Yorkers, it was good enough for Ernest Godwood.
You know.
And I think that was where he decided on the style, which is probably why it is so very different from anything else that was being built here at that
quite
time.
Quite distinctly different, isn't it?
Yeah, and it had it was actually made out of bluestone from Green Island in Dunedin, but also sourced from Ocean Beach at Bluff as well.
That's right. Yeah, 16 rooms, so a lot of rooms in that space, and that tower, that iconic tower, that just sort of peers out. That's pretty cool.
I know. I think from what I understand that because he and his wife did go on to have 10 children.
Ooh.
And I believe they kind of commandeered some of that space upstairs as their kind of playroom.
It's a good way to keep them out of your way, isn't it?
Go upstairs and play. I think you could legitimately call it a mansion.
I would agree. I would agree, yeah. So apparently he had pressed tin ceilings and hand-painted dining room ceilings. So, yeah, Ernest Godwood was an artist, did you know that?
I did.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, we've actually got some of his works in the collection, which we sort of colloquially call the Sad Horses and the Angels artworks. So he his artworks really, he was a talented guy.
He actually could turn his hand to just about anything, I think.
Gosh, yeah, he was a very, very clever dude.
Yes. So there was, as you say, the pressed tin ceilings, and he actually hand-painted the dining room ceiling.
Yeah. Oh.
One of my favourite stories about Rockhaven, though, comes from a book that was written by Shirley Walker, who, of course, was the oldest granddaughter of Ernest Godwood. Mm. And she talks about the two pillars in the hallway that had the dragons mounted on them. Now, these were the dragons that were purchased apparently from the Sloane's Theatre in D Street, which is where the current library is.
That's right.
And according to one of Godwood's daughters, Una, they thought that the Sloane's Theatre had actually obtained the dragons from the Dunedin exhibition, and
wow,
that it may have been part of the London's Crystal Palace exhibition of 1851.
My goodness, they have, what a storied history for the dragons there,
wouldn't
eh?
You love to think that that was actually true? It may have been a family legend,
mm-hmm,
but the family also, there was a joke that they would sometimes breathe fire and brimstone. So can you imagine the stories that would have come out of that house for those kids?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Imagine the visitors coming along and just being confronted by some dragons. Yeah, I've seen some interiors, and it was super busy in there as well. It was like those classic old Victorian, even though it wasn't in Victorian times, but it was just full of everything everywhere. It was a maximalist sort of interior decoration, eh?
And actually, once again from Shirley Walker's book, we have been fortunate enough to get some of those photographs, and they feature on the corresponding Heritage South page on our website, so I'll tell you more about that at the end. But for people who are going, oh, I wonder what it looked like, you can actually go on to the website and actually have a little bit of a look.
Mm.
Of course, he did a lot of his inventing out the back in the garden.
Yep. They had quite a big orchard from memory too. They had apples, pears, currant bushes, you know, so it was... It was quite the, it would have been a lot bigger, the section back in those days too. You know, it wasn't just the quarter acre we have these days. So, yeah.
No, I feel that they may have owned quite a large chunk of that section.
Mm.
I believe that the garage that he did his inventing is still, it has not been demolished.
Still there. Pretty cool.
So, of course, I think it would be fair to say that Margarita, his wife, that they called her Madge. I go,
Margarita's such a beautiful name. Yeah,
with a beautiful name like Margarita, why would you be Madge? But of course, she brought up their 10 children there. She did, two of her sisters actually moved into the home and helped to wrangle the children.
Mm.
Because, of course, as I said before, Ernest spent a lot of time travelling around and backwards and forwards from both America and the UK. So there was a lot of time where he wasn't at home.
That's right. And having 10 kids would be quite the handful.
Yeah, indeed.
Mm.
Of course, Ernest Godwood, he was actually heading home for Christmas in 1936 via the ship that he was coming home on, laden with Christmas presents, because that was also another thing that the kids loved it when he came back from one of his trips, because he always had things for them in his luggage. But he didn't make it, sadly.
Yeah.
After winning a skipping competition on board, he died, which is a bit sad. And he was buried at sea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what a way to go, though, eh?
Well, it's in some respects, you've got to say it's a fitting image for a man who lived a very unconventional life.
Exactly. Exactly. Competitive right up to the end, you know.
Indeed. He did win that skipping competition.
I mean,
so,
you know, I'm just going to avoid skipping for the next wee while.
No, please, no unsupervised skipping. Thank you, Davey. So the house remained in the family's possession right through for another 10 years. They continued to live there, but Madge did move to Christchurch with her sisters, and she had some unmarried daughters, and she died there in 1962.
Mm.
Rockhaven was then bought by another reasonably well-known family here in Invercargill. So Invercargill farmer Harold Smith bought it from the Godwoods. And, of course, he was actually one of John Smith of H&J Smith's. It was one of his sons who bought it. So that family lived there for a number of years as well.
See, that's quite interesting, isn't it? You know, those connections. It was a small place. But, yeah, so Rockhaven, it became a Category 2 listed historic building in 1983.
Mm.
And as I understand it, it's still in private ownership, but we don't want people to go visiting, dropping in on that. So
no, you never go and drop in on people unexpectedly. You must always, yes, you must always be invited. And, yes, so I guess, you know, Rockhaven has always been a private home, and it has remained so.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we talk a bit about the builder and the architect?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so the architect was Peter Walker. So we don't know a huge amount about his early life. He may have started out as a builder maybe in the 1870s. There was definitely a man of the same name working with F.W. Burwell in Queenstown, so that's another well-known local architect. So he was working with him as a contractor. Yeah, and he may have moved to Melbourne in the 1880s, where there's definitely a Peter Walker, formerly of Invercargill, noted as the Clerk of Works there. From around 1896, Peter Walker advertised himself as an architect in Invercargill. So his tender notices show that he designed residences and commercial buildings in Invercargill and throughout the rest of Southland too. And he was tendering for work up until about 1905. After that, the notices disappear and the notices stopped, rather, and Walker seems to have disappeared from New Zealand newspapers. So it's possibly moved back overseas around that time.
Yeah, I do wonder whether, given the time frame and that, you know, it was about the time that Rockhaven was completed, that it may well have been his last local building that he designed here in Invercargill.
Oh, what a great thing to have on the CV, eh?
I know. Pretty good. Of course, we've talked quite a bit about Ernest, but there's so much more you could say about him.
We could spend an entire podcast just on this man.
One of the things that I really enjoyed learning about Ernest was, of course, he was an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a co-owner of a local cycling company, and there is a photograph of Ernest Godwood as part of the Invercargill Cycling Club Committee that was it's part of the Invercargill Archives collection, and it's from about 1910, and there's about a dozen men all standing outside one of the hotels where they would have met, and you can spot Ernest immediately. He is dressed in a very different way to everybody else, mm-hmm. and he's got this real relaxed, he's just kind of chilling, he looks like he's I'm in complete control here. He's not standing straight and looking at the camera.
He knows what he's doing.
I think he was a 1910s version of pretty cool.
He was sort of like a bit of an overachiever, wasn't he? You know, he was a gifted sportsman, you know, champion cyclist, runner, swimmer, skipper. competitive skipper, rower, a boxer.
He just excelled at everything he did. The other thing I found really interesting is, of course, one of his directors in one of his early companies, and probably quite a likely substantial investor in the United States, was a gentleman called Samuel Longhorn Clemens.
Oh, now that's a familiar name.
Yeah, but we don't know him by that name normally. Mark Twain. Who himself was an inventor, so maybe it was a meeting of minds. And I do wonder if maybe they met in Invercargill, because Mark Twain did tour the country.
That's right.
He did a New Zealand lecture tour in 1895.
Yeah.
So I just think that it's quite interesting that he should have that connection. But I want to finish on what the Southland Times obituary of the 8th of December 1936 finished with. For Mr. E.R. Godwood. They called him a remarkable man. For one who left his school for the sea at such an early age, he was gifted with extraordinary talents and by his many friends in Invercargill was looked upon as a remarkable man. I think that's a good way to finish. As I said earlier, Davey, there is a page all about Rockhaven on the Heritage South website. Really easy to find us, heritagesouth.nz. And then you just click on the Built Heritage tab. There's a lot of photos there. And there's also some nice little pieces from people connected to the Godwood family as well in there.
Nice.
So thanks for joining me on Heritage South, and thanks for listening. This show is available as a podcast from the Radio Southland website, radiosouthland.org.nz. You can stream or download this episode. Just look for us in the Programs tab. Links can also be found on Facebook through Radio Southland's page, facebook.com/Radio Southland, and also on Heritage South at Heritage South NZ. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes, you can subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast platform through the Access Media app or on Spotify.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.